Kia ora, Nicola. Kei te whakarongo mai koe ki te pūrongo o te paetūtanga. It's time now for the Rural News with Kim Moody in Ōtautahi. Kia ora, Kim. And the country's largest red meat company is ending its relationship with Gloria Vale.
Kia ora, Mani. That's right. Silver Fern Farms is ending commercial arrangements with the Christian community after concerns were raised about the work conditions of its members. Earlier this month, the Employment Court ruled members of the community who worked for up to 70 hours a week for years were not volunteers, opening the door for the Labour Inspectorate to enforce minimum employment standards in the community. Sally Murphy reports.
Shortly after the court ruling, Westland Milk announced it's looking to suspend milk collection from dairy farms operated by Gloria Vale. Now, Silver Fern Farms, the country's largest red meat company, says it will discontinue commercial arrangements with the community's offal processing plant, Value Proteins. A spokesperson says it's working with all parties involved to bring this into effect. Another meat company, Alliance, says it's also reviewing its relationship with the Gloria Vale community.
Average yields for arable farmers growing wheat, barley and oats are down this season, according to an industry survey. A recent survey of 141 farmers shows overall yields were down 4% compared to last season. However, more hectares were harvested than last season, so the net result was an almost identical total tonnage. Federated Farmers Arable Chair Colin Hurst says after awful weather and flooding hit crops this season, the result isn't too bad.
I think that the poor harvest in Canterbury with the poor weather, normally I'd expect a lot to lose a lot more. But like this is based on early April figures from our growers, and until that actually is all delivered. One of the things I am hearing that when you load a truckload of wheat up, it's a lot lighter than it looks, probably because it's weather affected. So the resultant yields could be a little bit lower when we get the wash up at the end of the year.
The survey also shows sowing intentions for milling wheat are predicted to be down by 1,000 hectares for next season. Globally, there is a shortage of milling wheat due to the war in Ukraine. The country is one of the world's largest producers, but with Russian forces blocking ports, wheat exports have significantly dropped. Colin Hurst says since the survey was done in April, the price of milling wheat has skyrocketed, which will likely entice farmers to plant more.
There's still good opportunity to increase our milling wheat area, which I expect will with the way the prices are looking at the moment. This time last year, we were sort of looking at a $420 a tonne for milling wheat, and currently there's forecast pricing or contract pricing for 2023 harvest of it's virtually another $200, $630 a tonne. That's a significant rise. It's something I've never, ever struck in my whole farming career.
Colin Hurst from Federated Farmers. The government is loaning an alternative protein company over $1 million to ramp up production. Kapiti-based Sustainable Foods Limited produces plant-based burger patties, mince and sausages under the brand Plant. Minister for Economic and Regional Development Stuart Nash today announced a loan of $1.25 million for the company under the Regional Strategic Partnership Fund. He says the company's growth in the past 3 years has seen it evolve from producing just a few products catering to vegan and vegetarian diets to supplying leading restaurant brands and major supermarkets. Mr. Nash says the loan will help the company ramp up production to meet increasing demand. The Otago Regional Council will resume winter grazing monitoring flights in the coming weeks. Intensive winter grazing is when livestock are fed fodder crops. When done poorly, it can create a muddy mess, leading to animal welfare and environmental issues. Council spokesperson Richard Saunders says the first 3 sets of flyovers will happen at the start of June and will cover the whole region. He says they're looking for any signs of waterway pollution.
They're really just a good way for us, obviously, to cover a lot more ground than we can by car and highlight where the risk areas are. Any issues we see during those flights, we would follow up in person with a visit. So it's really about just identifying where there may be risks, and that allows us to target our staff resources to go and have conversations with people where, you know, we feel maybe it's worth us just having a conversation around how they're managing their winter grazing and what the risks might be. And obviously this year, a big part of that conversation will also be talking to them about the consent process for 2023.
New government regulations for winter grazing come into effect from November this year, so don't cover this winter's grazing. But Richard Saunders says farmers should already be thinking about next winter, as some will need to apply for consents. And lastly, events are being held in Oamaru and London today to celebrate 140 years since the first shipment of frozen New Zealand lamb arrived in the UK. The Dunedin, an old passenger ship fitted out with a freezing plant, left Port Chalmers with 5,000 frozen carcasses in February 1882 and docked in London on May the 24th. Meat Industry Association Chief Executive Sir Makarapiva says the first shipment should be celebrated as it paved the way for what is now a billion-dollar export industry.
You know, that might not sound very exciting to many people, but it actually is the turning point of New Zealand's economic history, and particularly the development of sheep farming and our export-focused industry that we are now so well-renowned for globally. It shows that, you know, a small country at the bottom of nowhere, really, through the use of innovation and technology and sort of a vision for itself, can achieve significant stuff, really.
Sir Makarapiva there. And that's the Rural News for today. Koe rā te porongo, o te tai whenua.